Will you take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi, chapter 3. I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't think it would happen here. For the first time in my life, I have been introduced as the elder. Did you catch that? I didn't miss it, Pastor. From you, it's very acceptable, okay? God bless you. Thank you, Gideons. God bless you. We appreciate you and your work. I have had great admiration for your organization all these years. I got a deal for you. I'm going to eliminate the first two-thirds of my sermon if you will promise to listen intently to the last third. Is that a deal? Most Baptists would like that deal, okay? Would you not? The scripture has already been read for us, verse 7 through 12. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the open windows of revival. The open windows of revival. I knew, as Brother Johnny just alluded and said so clearly, I knew the very moment that I was to preach tonight exactly what I must preach. Very clearly. I'm of Johnny come lately. I've only known Brother Raymond for 2 years. Not much compared to the rest of you. But learned to love and appreciate him. And knowing the situation and knowing the hour and knowing the burden of this church that many of you share with me, I know your pastor does, for real revival. I wanted to preach this message for about 2 years now. I've had it prepared, never preached it anywhere, excited about it, and wanted to preach it. I've tried to preach it in several other occasions, but the Lord shut it down and would not let me do it until I got the invitation to be here tonight. And God said to me clearly, now is the place, now is the time. So I want you to listen carefully to God's call to you concerning the open heavens of revival. As a young preacher, I knew the Malachi passage about tithes. And I felt like it was the best place in the world to preach on tithes and encourage my people to bring their tithes and offerings to the storehouse. So I wore the verse of scripture out as a young preacher. I was taking advantage of the situation. I missed the message altogether, and I'm here to confess that tonight. These many years later, the elder Don Graham realizes that the key to revival has to do with giving. The open heavens is the best picture I know of anywhere in the scripture talking about revival. That is my heartbeat. That is my burden wherever I go. For 22 years now, as an itinerant preacher, I've been crisscrossing this state and wherever God would open doors for me to call God's people to revival. I cannot do that without doing it here. And so now I want to invite you to consider what God would say to you and to all of us so that we can have the Lord open up the heavens of revival. It's connected to giving. It's connected to tithes and offerings and bringing them into the storehouse of God. You read the passage carefully, you will see that. And so I want to talk to you tonight about God's threefold condition for a threefold blessing. God's threefold condition for a threefold blessing. Look at it with me. The threefold condition in verse 7, return unto me. Second condition, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes. Third condition, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. The first blessing to connect with the condition to open the windows of heaven. Verse 10, God's promise, he will open the windows of heaven. The second blessing, he will rebuke the devourer in verse 11. And the third blessing, all nations will call you blessed. It's on the screen if you want to write it down. Go home and study it. I won't have time to deal with it like I would like to tonight. But I want to encourage you to consider the privilege that you and I have on a regular basis to give. Giving is one of the most joyful and delightful things that I know anything about. And we're going to take up an offering after church tonight for the Gideons. So why don't you just let it all spill over in one big time and let's bless these folks, okay? Years ago, I was in Russellville, Alabama, in the northwest corner of our state in revival meeting. Closed out on a Wednesday night. On Sunday night, I was sitting on the front row and a young 10-year-old boy came walking by me. I spoke to him, but like a lot of children, they don't know what to do with adults and speak to them and how to handle us, you know, especially preacher types. So he just walked on past me and hardly acknowledged me. The next night, I was sitting in the same place when he came walking in 5 minutes before the service, and he kind of looked at me and slowed down and nodded at me when I spoke to him again, but then he hurried on past and found his seat. The next night, same scene. He stopped this time and shook my hand, and we began to talk, and we got acquainted, and he did that the rest of the week until the last night of the revival. It was Wednesday, and it was raining heavy when church started, and it rained throughout the service and on to well past the service. The young boy came up to me after the service was over Wednesday night and said to me with a shock on his face, "Is this the last service?" I said, "Yes, son, it sure is." He said, "Oh, you stay right here. Don't you leave. I'll be right back." He ran out of the church. He's a poor boy. He'd been coming with some church members who loved him enough to bring him to church with him. And he'd heard the pastor talk about they're taking an offering up for the evangelist, you know, and wanted the people to give. And he'd been hearing that, and he realized he wanted to give but hadn't given anything and didn't have anything with him to give. So he ran out of the church and ran home in the rain, came running back after a while, drenched, wet as he could be, and walked up to me with this dollar bill that I have in my hand and handed it to me and thanked me for preaching the word of God to him that week. I've received a lot of offerings along the way, a lot of gifts, a lot of dollar bills along the way, but none of them mean anything to me like this one does. I keep it plastered on my filing cabinet so that every time I walk in my office, I see it. And I remember that little boy's face. And I want you to know that's the beauty of giving, the privilege that you and I have to give unto the Lord and give in His work. But when you link that together with God's promise for revival, He loves a hilarious giver. I thank God for that, don't you? He loves a hilarious giver. God loves a cheerful giver, translates the word hilarion, hilarious, and that's what God is all about. You know what I'd like to see happen one of these days? I'd love to see it happen here or wherever it'll happen. I'd love to see it happen. Sunday morning worship, about 11:15, the offering bearers move throughout the congregation and pass the offering plate, and it arrives in some man or woman's lap, and they jump up out of their seat and holler, "Whoopee! I get to give again." Instead of the typical Baptist reaction, "Well, here these Baptists go again. All they want is your money." It's a joy, a blessing to give. Somebody say amen, would you? Whether you believe it or not. I love the joy of giving. And when you understand that God links together in His promise, the promise of revival, it will accelerate, I trust, your love to give. Look with me at the threefold condition. The threefold condition. Number one, return unto me. If you will return, God will do these things. First of all, the condition, return unto me. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3, the very same words are mentioned. Same period of time, Malachi, Zechariah, preaching to the post-exilic time, where our pastor's in the book of Nehemiah, that very period of time. And the Bible calls the people of God to return unto me. Return. If we need to return, we obviously have left away. We've gone away. The people of God in our church and everywhere around this country, we need to return unto God. That is His word to us. Like the prodigal son of old, who in the hog pen finally discovered his condition and decided he was going to run back to the Father. Return to the Father. Hosea chapter 14 verse 1 says, "Return unto me, O Israel, and take with you words." Go back and read that. As you return, take with you words. What kind of words? These kind of words. Children of God who need to repent and return to the Lord. We need to take to Him these words. "Lord, I was wrong. I sinned against you. I am sorry. Will you please forgive me?" Return unto the Lord and take these words with you. Return to God with all these words and say, "Father, I have sinned against you." And then be specific about the nature of that sin. "Lord, I sinned against you when I cursed your name, when I was a thief, when
I was belligerent, when I was bitter, when I was angry, when I spoke out of place, when I was this, when I was, be honest, be specific, take with you words, return to the Father. The second condition, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Not part of them, but all of them. Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse. The honest, repentant heart will express itself in full surrender. I grew up singing and loving, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me as thou wouldst have me be. A picture of a piece of clay in the potter's hand, yielded wholly unto him. Take all, bring all of the tithe into the storehouse. We must understand that is the will of God. Return to me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And then he invites us to prove me. That's one of the most startling things in the Bible that I've ever read. That God, our Creator, invites you and me, mere creatures of the dust, put him to the test. Test me. Prove me. I dare you. Come on, let's do it. You do what I tell you to do and you'll see what I'll do. There are conditions to his blessing. And he invites us to prove him. To prove him. Are you doing that? Will you do that? May I challenge you to do that? I'm grateful for my background and for my heritage. I never had a question in my mind about tithing. I was saved as an 8-year-old lad of a boy, a product of a Baptist nursery. I've been in church all of my life. And it was very easy for me as a child, a young teenager, my first job, to give my first tithe and do it all the rest of these years. I thank God for that. I thank God for that background and for that rearing. I didn't have the struggle that many people have had, a monumental struggle for some people. But regardless of that, God's inviting you, prove me. Just prove me. Just go ahead and do what I tell you to do and prove me and see if I will not open up the very windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing that you cannot contain. That's the promise of God. So go ahead and try him. Go ahead and prove him. And then note what he will do. The conditions, notice the blessing. The blessing. Number one, I will open the windows of heaven. Throughout the scripture, you have that picture and allusions to that picture throughout the word of God. And I see it as a beautiful picture of real revival. When God opens up the very windows of heaven, unzippers heaven itself, and the blessings of heaven fall out upon the people of God. What a remarkable privilege that is, a joy for you and me to be a part of. I need to share this with you because the balance of what time I've got and what little I want to say comes out of this story that is a true story. Miss Bertha Smith shared it in my presence many years ago. Stalwart soldier, missionary to China in the 30s. There when the Japanese were making their attack and oppression upon China, our Baptist missionaries were sequestered in the city of Shantung, China, for their safety because of the communist aggression. There in that city, God began to move among the missionaries initially. And one of the greatest revivals in the history of the Baptist movement of any kind occurred in Shantung, China, among our missionaries there under heavy oppression. During those days of revival, a pastor received a call, a notice from his church deacon and his treasurer, who said, I need an audience with you, pastor. I need to see you Saturday. It was granted. He went to the pastor's home. The pastor was concerned what he was going to hear from this deacon. For during those days of revival, he had heard many of his church members make confessions that startled him and were just quite difficult to handle because God was a hold of the people and they were getting honest and getting right with one another and confessing their sin. And he had heard some things that just startled him. He was worried about what his church treasurer might be coming to his house for to confess. He arrived. They sat down in the living room. And the deacon said, Pastor, I need you to help me tomorrow. He pulled out of a check, a large amount of money made out to the church, and said, I want you to place this in the offering plate for me Sunday. And he said, here's the story, Pastor. He said, during these days of revival, God has revealed to me that I have been a hypocrite and I have been a liar all of these years. Nearly all of the people of this church believe that I'm a tither. I could not be a deacon if I wasn't a tither. I certainly could not be church treasurer if I was not a tither. I have fooled everybody. I have never tithed my income one day of my life. And he said, God has convicted me of that. And God has shown me what I must do in order to make it right with him and with God. God brought to my mind a piece of property that I own, a corner piece of property downtown in Shantung. He says it's growing in value by the day. He said, I've been kind of holding it back as an ace in the hole for a rainy day. You know how I will do. And he said, God told me to do this. He told me, I want you to go back and figure out how much you have robbed God of from the day you got saved until today. Go back and figure what your tithe should have been if you've been obeying me and you've robbed me of that during these years, and come up with that bottom line figure. He said, I did that. I calculated that, came up with that figure. And then he said, the Lord told me, sell that piece of property, and for the asking price, let it be the exact amount of money that you have robbed God of all these years, pretending to be a tither when you weren't. He said, Pastor, I did that. He said, when I came up with that figure, I didn't think there was anybody ever going to offer that kind of money for that piece of property. He said, I put it up for sale. And the first man who responded to the advertisement came to my house, paid me cash money for the asking price. And he said, that's the check that I give you. Will you put that in the offering plate for me Sunday, Pastor? He left the pastor's home. Following Sunday, Lord's Day, Pastor came to start the service at the appointed hour. His custom was to begin the service by calling on someone in the church, one of the men, one of the deacons normally, to lead in an invocation. He came to the pulpit, and instead of doing that, he said this. He said, if there's anybody here who is altogether right with God, I want you to lead us in prayer. That man who had just got altogether right with God sprang to his feet and prayed heaven down. Literally prayed heaven down. And God unzippered heaven. And God opened the windows of heaven and powerfully inundated that congregation with his almighty presence. Service was supposed to be over at 12. It was not over until 2 days later. They went on unstopped for 2 days. And then every night services for 6 weeks beyond that. People being saved right and left. Every service, God opened up the windows of heaven in the response to a man who tried him, who tested him. I'll open up the windows. You trust me. You believe me. And he said, I will do that. I will do that. I will open the windows of heaven. The second blessing, I will rebuke the devourer. If you and I will do our part, here's what he said he will do. I will rebuke the devourer. I never see phrases like that throughout the Old Testament without thinking of the life of Joel, the great prophet of God. You remember his land was invaded by a plague of locusts, hordes and hordes of locusts that just ravished the land. The cankerworm, the palmer worm, Joel chapter 1. Go back and read about it. And in that very passage of scripture, those three chapters of Joel, God promises that he will restore the years that the cankerworm, the locust, hath eaten. God will rebuke the devourer. You are aware, are you not? As you look at the church of Jesus Christ in this generation, and as you look at the church across America, and as you look at our nation, you surely are aware that we are being devoured. For a long time now, we have been devoured by the enemy. We've given up so much ground to the enemy. We've been devoured. But God promises in days of revival, I will check that. I will turn that around. I will rebuke the devourer. I will restore unto you the years that the canker worm hath eaten. Wouldn't you like to see God do that in your land, in my land? Just recently we celebrated or noticed or marked or whatever you want to call it, 9/11/01. I'll never forget that day. You won't either. You know right where you were when you heard the news for the first time, don't you? My daughter was living in New York City at the time, in Manhattan, just a few miles north of the World Trade Center. So when I first heard the news, I didn't know what was going on and was quite alarmed for my daughter's safety. When we were able to get in touch with her and find out she was doing all right, I could relax a little and try to process the information. I began to pray, "Oh God, will you please use this event and our churches and our nation's life to call us as a nation to revival?" The last great awakening in America, nationwide, began right there in New York City in 1857. You remember that story. I said, "God, will you do it again? Would you be pleased to use this of all cities one more time to be the place where you spark revival that'll sweep across our land?" I began to pray like that. Many people did. I'm sure many of you did. Seemed like for a little while it might happen. You remember? Seemed like for a little while it was kosher once again to sing "God Bless America." Billy Graham met with the high officials of our land in the chapel there in D.C. and preached to them on the heels of that event. I remember the picture in the Birmingham News, large color picture on the front page of the Birmingham News of many of the senators on the steps of the halls of Congress praying the day after that event. Many of whom had been a party to the snatching away of life after life after life after life, unborn babies in mothers' wombs. Seems so hypocritical. We got over it in a hurry, didn't we? I went one day to Ground Zero that week, walked all the way around the circumference of Ground Zero. You couldn't get down any of the roads that led to Ground Zero unless you had ID, and I didn't have that. So I walked around the outer circumference and stopped at every road that led down to Ground Zero. And I wept as I walked around New York City. Oh God, revive your people. We've been devoured so long now, and we're seeing the result of it. We're, as a nation, right on the edge of anarchy in a moment's time, utter sheer anarchy could break out across our land. I love America. Do you love America? Say amen if you do. We better be praying for her. If you've ever prayed, you better pray for America. I love her. I love her. Our land needs to be restored. We have been devoured by the enemy too long now. And we Christians, the Church of Jesus Christ, has just leaned back and let it sweep over us. It is time that we sink our heels in the sand and say, "Thus far and no further." It is time, beloved, that we rise as a church. It is time that you and I walk with God and that we test Him, that we do just what He invited us to do. I'm reluctant to use those words, but they're God's word. He says, "Try me, test me, prove me. Just do it." Can I encourage you to do that? The threefold blessing. I will open the windows of heaven. I will rebuke the devourer. And thirdly, you shall be a delightsome land. Once again, you can be a delightsome land. As long as 2 Chronicles 7:14 is in the Bible, I will believe that God wants to send and can send and will send revival to our land when He finds a people who will obey Him and that He can trust with revival. When He finds that people, He will do what He said He will do. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will, what? Hear their prayer. Forgive their sin. And what? Heal their land. He will heal the land. He'll hear our prayer. He'll forgive our sins. The very same postulation that you have earlier here in the scripture. I believe that. I thank God for that. As a young preacher boy, that came across my desk somehow, I don't know, a little word that I want to share with you, and I've saved it for this hour. Will you listen carefully? It is entitled, "The Tithe Has Pledged My All." Ah, when I look up at that cross, where God's great steward suffered loss. Yea, loss of life and blood for me. A trifling thing it seems to be to pay the tithe, dear Lord, to thee, of time or talent, wealth or store. Full well I know I owe thee more. A million times I owe thee more. The tithe has pledged my all. A mere 10% of your income should be a pledge to God. God, this represents my desire to give my all to you. I full well know it ought to be a million times more. But you ask for the tithe. It pledges my all, my all. And yet we hold it back from him. Yet we rob him of that which is his. We heard our pastor yesterday in the funeral ask the question, who will stand in the gap left vacant by our good brother Raymond? Who will stand in the gap? I want to ask you that night as he asked us yesterday. Tithe of your time, tithe of your income, tithe of your influence, tithe of your energy, tithe of your talents, tithe of all that you are. It pledges your all. Who will stand in the gap? I think you will hear my heart and know my heart, I trust, as I speak to you out of my heart tonight. It is time, dear folk, dear people that I love so much. You don't know how much Gene and I have come to love you as a people of God. And out of a heart broken and concerned for you, I want you to help me say in response to our pastor's question, here I am, preacher. Here I am. I'll stand in that gap. I'll stand in that gap. Tell me where the gap is the biggest. I'll stand there. You need me? I'm ready. At every level of the ministry of this church, far-flung ministry, I realize that. So many places you can plug in. It is time that we rise up and say, count on me. Call your pastor. Talk to him before you leave here tonight. Say, pastor, put me to work. I need to go to work. I'm ready. I'll fill the gap. For many reasons, we need to rise up and do that. The second stanza to that little poem or whatever it is, if I can read it with my tears. But that is just the reason why I lift my heart to God on high and pledge thee by this portion small, my life, my love, my all in all. This holy token at thy cross, I know as gold must seem but dross. But in my heart, Lord, thou dost know how it has pledged my all to thee. That I, a steward, true may be. We come to church with an offering envelope. And it's a little amount of money. It's a tenth or perhaps more of what you've made and what you've earned and worked hard for. But it's our way of saying, God, it's a pledge. It's a pledge of my all. I want to give you everything. You own everything. You've given me everything that I am and everything that I have. This tithe that I place in this offering plate, it's yours. It pledges my all to you. Do you see the connection? The connection between an open window of revival and giving? Steward of your wealth, of your resources, of your influence, your abilities, your talents, a pledge of all. And when you're giving less than what God asks, what is it saying about you? I'll let you answer that. I so want to see you get in on the blessing of revival. Everywhere I've gone for 22 years now, I've gone praying, Lord, could this be the place? Could these be the people? Could this be the time when you're going to pour out your blessing upon your people in revival? I want you to know I'm praying that for this church, our church. Wouldn't it be beautiful to be a part of it? To be a part of where God really just settles down and turns His people around and into the great, great army that God wants us to be. All the potential is here if you and I will but obey our God. Somewhere the last few weeks, I was in an old-fashioned church. I like old-fashioned churches. They had an old-fashioned hymnal in front of me. I was sitting there, and I thumbed through the hymnal. Next to my Bible, I like the hymnal better than any other book around. I think we all ought to. And quite accidentally, you would think, but it was God's directive, I stumbled across a song I never heard, written by a lady named Mrs. C.H. Morris. I don't know a thing about her. In that old hymnal, a hymn entitled, "When the Tithes Are Gathered In." Will you listen to it? It's right out of Malachi. "There'll be showers of blessings from our Father's hand. On this word of promise, we may firmly stand. There'll be rains refreshing on the thirsty land when the tithes are gathered in. There'll be shouts of triumph from the conquering host. There'll be perfect freedom in the Holy Ghost. Everyone empowered as at Pentecost when the tithes are gathered in. We will rob no longer then our Lord and King. What to Him belongeth, we will gladly bring. And we shout Hosanna while the glad harps ring when the tithes are gathered in." Do you see the connection? Revival, bringing the tithes to the storehouse. The chorus goes, "Tithes of love and willing service, tithes of silver and of gold. When the tithes are gathered in, when the tithes are gathered in. There'll be blessings more than we can contain when the tithes are gathered in." That's the truth of the Word of God. I challenge you. Test Him. Prove Him. You will be the richer by far. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for this time together. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of giving to a ministry that I believe in 100%. And I thank you, Father, for God's people here at this church who believe in the work and ministry of this great church. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bring us to another level. Bring us to another level, Lord, that we'll begin to see the connection between God's promise for the open windows of revival to be poured out upon those who obey Him and cease to rob Him. Forgive us where we failed you. Cleanse us from sin. And may your will be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.